Name 547, Vishnu Sahasranam, Gabhira, which common word, I believe, in Indian languages. Do you say that in Gujarati? Gabhira? No? Gambhir, Gabhir. They're similar words. Gabhir literally means very deep. And Gambhir means serious. So Gabhir means very deep. If we say deep, that also means difficult to comprehend or mysterious. If we say that he has a very deep nature, you think of someone who's thinking very deeply. If we say someone is shallow, that means the superficial kind of person, and deep means that they have a very very serious and very thoughtful personality. The commentators here, of course, we are mostly, the first commentator always here is the Parashara Bhatta, Sri Vaishnava. So he says he's Gabhir, deep because of his Gambhirya, his majesty. Here Gambhirya is given as the idea of majesty. He's so great, he's so powerful. How can we approach him? We can imagine any big person of this world. Narendra Modi, the example for the moment. In a few years, it'll be someone else. But we, if he can say, oh, how can I go up to him? How can I talk to him? And even if you get the chance to speak with him, you'd be afraid. Oh, he's so great and I'm so small. Now, if we consider realistically, what is the position of Narendra Modi compared to ours? It is very great, at least in material terms. But then if we think what the position of Krishna is, how much greater, unlimitedly greater, then how can we even begin to approach him or understand him? But then Vaidaisya Sarvairahameva Vedyaha, all the Vedas are meant for understanding him. But then we can't understand him because he's so great. What can we understand? We can't even understand ourselves. Sometimes you think, why did I do that? We do something, why did I do that? We may think that we understand someone very well. Just like a man may think, now I understand my wife after 25 years of marriage. Do they? I don't know. We often hear people say, I can't understand it. Why they? Is it? So what to speak of Krishna? He's so great. And even the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he plays like an ordinary person, that doesn't make him more easy to understand, that makes him less easy to understand. Because if someone is so great, then you expect him to act like a great person. But then if he doesn't and plays like an ordinary person, it becomes more difficult. And even Brahma, when he saw Krishna playing as an ordinary cowherd boy, he thought, something wrong here. I thought he was Narayana, but that's not Narayana. Narayana is so great, and he's some young boy running in the forest. He doesn't even have any shoes on, chasing after some cows. He sits down to eat, and just some village food, and sometimes he eats it with his left hand. I don't think this is God. Something wrong here. But then Brahma, he stole all the cowherd boys and the calves. And then Krishna shows to him that he has expanded himself into all these forms, and each of these forms is being worshipped by a whole set of Brahmas and young Brahma Rudra, what is that? Young Brahma, Varindra, Rudra, Maratastan, Vanti, Divyais, Divai, all, every one of them, it may be in the form of a calf, but it's a Vishnu form, is being worshipped by all the great demigods. So Krishna showed that, well, if you think that that's what makes me great, that I'm being worshipped by all the demigods, okay, you can see all these different forms are being worshipped by so many different demigods, but actually I like to play like this as a cowherd boy. And then Brahma came afterwards and prayed to Krishna and apologized, gave so many prayers there in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, many important instructions there. And then Brahma finished his prayers and Krishna just stood there. And Brahma couldn't understand. He's got so much understanding, but he couldn't understand. Is Krishna pleased with me or he's displeased with me? He couldn't work it out. And actually Krishna was thinking, is he finished? I want to go and play with my friends. Who can understand? One thing for sure, Krishna's a very deep consciousness. What is that? That verse, Paritas Swabhava, that tad tvam shila rupa charitai parama prakrishtai satvena sattvikataya. No, there's another. Anyway, the word swabhav comes up, that his nature is very deep. So if we're in shallow consciousness, we cannot understand him, that's for sure. Shallow consciousness means we're interested in the things of this world. I shall show myself to be very great. I'm very powerful. We're interested in the shallow things. And in modern age, they're promoting that more and more. This, some cinema star. What is this? Very shallow. Nothing of any depth. So how can we understand Krishna if we're on the shallow platform? Deep also gives the idea of very deep and solid, whereas in shallow consciousness, our consciousness always flickering, calm, crowd, low, moha, all the time the mind is flickering here and there, can't fix on anything. So akeha kurunandara, consciousness should be fixed. Yata deepa nivatasto, just like the light, the candle in a windless place, it just burns nicely. If there's wind, if you're all the time different thoughts coming in the mind, then it flickers like this. So we can't understand Krishna if we're in flickering consciousness. And anyway, we can't understand him because he's so much greater than us. We can only get some idea of how great he is, because we can't imagine how many living beings are there in this universe. Eta brahmanda bhari ananta jiva. We can't even imagine how many living beings. And Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesha juna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani maya. And Krishna is within the heart of all of them and coordinating all and overseeing all of them. We can't begin to imagine. And therefore atheists, they say, oh, there's no God. Because they can't imagine how great he is. So they think, can't exist. If I can't understand it, it can't exist. What arrogance. Huh? I close my eyes, I can't see you, therefore you don't exist. Foolishness and arrogance. They reject the possibility. No one can be as great as that. It's impossible. It's impossible for you. But there's no meaning to being God unless he is so great. So some That's one of the character, one of the features of him being so great, is that he's very, very deep, difficult for us to understand. He has all these qualities: Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasya, Shriyaha, Jnana Vairagya, Yashchaiva, Shannang Bhagi Itingena. All wealth. He's so wealthy. Wealthy people, they become very famous. Some wealthy people in India are very well known: Tata family, Biala family, Hinduja family. In this area, these Pais of Manipal and Hegdes of the Subramaniam. What's that place? Dharamsthala, yeah. They're very famous. They're wealthy people. But what is their wealth in comparison to Krishna? In America, who's the wealthy people? Bill Gates, still going on. Who else is? Warren Buffett is very wealthy. Warren Buffett, you never heard of him?
Yeah, I know, I've heard of him. I'm just trying to think of some up-and-coming new guys.
They come and go, don't they? Who else is there? Who knows? Who's so many wealthy people. I guess the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, but you don't hear so much about them in the background. But what is their wealth? We can't even begin to imagine how wealthy and powerful is Krishna. So how can we approach him? It seems that there can't be any connection between us and him. And so, some people say that, well, God is so great, you can't say his name, it's too great. You know this name Jehovah, you must have heard of that. It's not really a name of God, but there are some consonants in the Hebrew Bible which are given without the vowels, because, and YWH, something like that, and then it becomes Yahweh, and they made it Jehovah. But actually it's not supposed to be said at all. It's just some consonants which are symbolic. You're not supposed to say it. It's written in a way that it can't be pronounced. That's practically not possible with Indian languages, because the letters are it's not, well, you could put a viram at the end of each one, but the consonant is built into the symbol. Sorry, the vowel is built into the symbol. But in languages like English, you have to put the vowel separately. You can't pronounce it otherwise. So that's the idea. You can't, don't say his name. Well, they say, don't say he has any name. He's above having any name. But Srila Prabhupada put it around the other way and said that, well, if he's got all the qualities, then he should have more names. So this idea, he's very, very great and therefore mysterious and very difficult for us to understand. So this follows the name that we just previously discussed, Guhya, and there's a series of names like this. We may think that we can understand him, but the example is given. There may be a very deep lake, and if the water is very clear, you can look, and it looks like the bottom isn't far away, but actually it's very, very deep, because the water's very clear, and we don't have a proper idea of the depth because of its waters like that, and so we may misestimate that we can, that the bottom is very close, although it's very deep. It's impossible to fathom his depth. We can't find out. Just like there are some places in India, one of them is Chakratirtha at Naimisharanya. It's like a well with water, and you can't find the bottom. Some British man, when he heard this, he said, no, there must be some bottom. So he put chains and kept on putting chains down and down, but he couldn't He couldn't find the bottom. Maybe with some modern technological attempt they could try to find the bottom nowadays. But it's bottomless. That means it just keeps on going down and down and down. So Krishna's like that. We can't find the end of his glories. That's one of the prayers of Brahma in that chapter 14 of the 10th canto. It also means who has a very deep voice. And Krishna has a very deep voice. You may remember when three brahmanas came to visit Jarasandha. And Jarasandha looked at them and said, "They don't look like brahmanas. They're all very strongly built, and they even have the marks the kshatriyas have for holding the quiver." And then they started to speak, and they said, speaking in very deep, commanding voices like kshatriyas. Whereas a brahmana, you'd expect to speak in a gentle voice. So deep voice, a very deep voice. And also means what he says is very deep also. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's teachings. The next name is Gahana, which has a similar meaning. Deep, impenetrable, inexplicable, very difficult to understand. Gahana karmano gatihi, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. It's very difficult to understand the way of karma, to understand that. What is it? How does that verse begin? Bodh, what is that? Gahana karmano gatihi. How does that verse begin, anyone? I also don't remember it. Abodhavyam. Anyone? You can, that's the modern way, look it up. Gahana, you can look up the word Gahana. Gahana karmano gatihi. Karmana sapi bodhavyam, bodhavyam,
Bodhavyam cha vikarmana.
Bodhavyam cha vikarmana. Akarmanas cha bodhavyam. Gahana karmano gatihi. So it's very difficult to understand all these topics, even of the material world. What is action? What is inaction? So very difficult to understand. Now, one important thing here is that although in some ways we should try to understand Krishna, but at the same time we should know that we can't fully understand him. Bhagavad Gita is a giving spiritual knowledge, but the main point is not just to have knowledge, but to love Krishna. Krishna says, "Aham sarvasya prabhava, mata sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante, buddha bhava samanvita." That those who know that he is the source of everything, it doesn't mean you have to understand everything, exactly how everything comes into being. But this much, if we can understand, everything comes from Krishna, then we can engage in his service with love. And then what comes after that? Machita madgata prana bodhayantas parasparam katayantas chamang nityang tushyanticha ramanticha. So the devotees, they like to talk about Krishna and share with each other their realizations of Krishna. And they become very satisfied in this. So this is already, there's been so much discussion of kim karma kim akarma iti. Kaveo, Piyatra, Mohitaha. What is karma? What is akarma? What is vikarma? All those discussions. already been done in Bhagavad Gita. And now talk about Krishna. So, to understand him to some extent, but the main point is not to try to understand. It's just like, again, the atheists. They're sitting and have big discussions. Well, I don't think there could be God because of this and this and that. And they try to, they try to intellectually deny the existence of God, and then some theists will come and say, no, there must be God because of this and this and that. With the idea, well, if I can fully understand it, unless you can convince me to understand that there is God, then I won't understand. And then they'll bring so many arguments against it. But the idea that I have to understand God and then I'll accept him, that's not a very good idea. There's some basic understanding, but the whole idea, I have to understand every philosophical point regarding the existence of God, first I shall understand it, then I'll accept there's God. And if there's any objection or anything I can't understand, then I won't accept. But Maya will always give so many doubts. Prabhupada writes in one purport, Maya's business is to make doubts in our mind. But the whole idea that we shall by ourselves judge, well, I don't think there's any God. Who the hell are you? Then God has to retire. Oh, sorry. Oh. Doesn't exist anymore. Because someone doesn't believe in him. So, this whole idea that we have to understand everything about him. First of all, the first thing we have to understand is that we can't understand everything about him. Unless, as Srila Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami, that unless we accept the achintya shakti, the inconceivable powers of the Supreme Lord, then we can't understand him at all. We can't accept him. We can't begin to understand him. So, it's a matter of piety, ultimately, whether someone accepts God or not. If they have a very sinful or envious mentality, then they won't be inclined to know him. And that verse comes again. Tvam Shila Rupa Charitai Paramapakrishtai Satvena Satvikataya Prabalaischa Shastrai Prakhyata Daiva Paramata Vidang Mataischa Naivasura Prakatiya Prabhavanti Bodham. Krishna is obviously the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All evidence is there in all respects, but people who have a sinful mentality, they just won't accept. So Krishna is very deep, and we can't understand everything about him, but that doesn't mean that we're completely cut off from him. He invites us. It's just like we're in darkness. He invites us to come to the light. Tamasima Jyotir Gamaya. He invites us to come out of the darkness of ignorance and come to him. We're on the wrong side of the Vaitarani River. He invites us, come with me. Come and be with me. But if we stay in the world of darkness and ignorance and illusion, if we want to stay here, then we won't know Krishna. We won't be with Krishna. So he's inexplicable. We'll never fully understand him. But the point is, anyway, it's not that we're just meant to understand him. It's not like some kind of computer or something. We have to try to understand. Love is the main principle. And the very fact that the Vrajavasis, they love Krishna without knowledge of his opulence, makes them most dear to Krishna. The very fact that they don't have knowledge of his opulences, is very famous. We'll see so many pictures of Ramachandra Bhagavan embracing Hanuman. That's something very, very, very great, that he's the Supreme Lord. And he has such love for Hanuman, he's so grateful to him, that he embraces him. It's a very famous incident, and like I say, you'll see, it's one of the famous pictures, isn't it, in Ram Leela? There are various pictures. The most famous probably is the Durba of Sita Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. And what other pictures? Different pictures are famous. His meeting with Bharat also at Chitrakoot. So there are a few famous pictures in Ram Leela. That's one of them. His embracing Hanuman. Because it's Ram is so great and Hanuman is a monkey, but out of love he's embracing him. But in Vraj Leela, that happens all the time. Krishna's always embracing his cowherd boys and his girlfriends and his parents and mothers and fathers. When I say mothers, what do you mean mother? There's only one mother, but no, they're all in the village, probably even today in many villages in the world. All the children are running around and all the adults are like parents. They can pick the baby up and the baby falls over and anyone will pick them up and dust them down and kiss them. It's not that you have to be the biological parent. So it's like that in Krishna Leela, that Krishna's running around in the village and all the elderly people, they're all like parents to him. They can chastise him also if he does something wrong. If. Krishna's always doing naughty things. So all the elderly people, they take pleasure in that. So in Krishna Leela, it's a very common thing. They can pick him up and kiss him, and if he falls over and hurts himself, then they'll pick him up and calm him down. He's crying like this. So, this is the special gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's pointing out the sweetness of Krishna in love. The Vaishnava Acharyas prior to him, they all gave commentaries on the Vedanta Sutras. That was required to offset the misrepresentation of the Vedanta Sutras by Shankara. So they all gave commentaries on the Vedanta Sutras, which means that they had to comment on the Upanishads, because each of the Vedanta Sutras, the different acharyas would show, oh, this sutra, this is collapse, what's the word? It's expressing in a terse form. It's summarizing this statement from this Upanishad and that Upanishad, just like Atato Brahma Jignyasa, so you can say that Utishta Jagrata, so that fits with that. Then Janmadhyasa Yataha is obviously that Yatova Imani Bhutani Jayante is obviously that. And then Tad Vijigyasasvam Tad Brahmeti, that. So the first two sutras, they obviously fit with these quote from the Taittiriya Upanishad. So they'll show in the Upanishads. So, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't comment on the Upanishads. He didn't appear to have to be very much interested with the Upanishads, the Mayavadi sannyasis in Varanasi. They criticized him that, why don't you study the Vedanta Sutras? What's wrong? What's wrong with you? You're a sannyasi. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he is Vedanta Krit. He himself is the author of the Vedanta. So then he gave the proper understanding. But generally he didn't emphasize that very much. He emphasized Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially he brought out how Srimad Bhagavatam, even though there's so many verses in Bhagavatam describing the power and majesty of Krishna, ultimately it's the love of Krishna that it points to. And that is the whole thrust of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, and that which makes his teachings so special, this Brihad Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami, it brings out the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in another way. Therein is the story of Gopakumar, who is a cowherd boy in Govardhan, not during Krishna's manifest Leela. Oh, you just mentioned time to lift up Govardhan, no? Now the rain came. So anyway, he was looking for his Lord, who is Krishna, by his sadhana, and he was going and seeing different forms of the Lord. And when he went to Vaikuntha, because Narayana looks just like Krishna, except that he has four arms. He's in a very majestic mood and his dress is very majestic. But the guards, they told him, look, you be careful. We're going to bring you to see Narayana. Behave yourself. You have to bow down and fold your hands and be very respectful, because they knew that he's not in that mood. Even though he was in Vaikuntha, he was still dressed as a cowherd boy. They said, can you change your dress? It's not that you should dress properly. Just if you go to see a big man, you have to dress properly, not in your work clothes. They said, no, I'm sorry, I can't change. I like this clothing. I can't give it up. So he went there and he said, be careful. So he went in and immediately he ran toward Narayana, oh, to embrace him. And then they stopped him and grabbed him and pulled him back. Because he's majestic. Here you have to bow down. So Gopakumar, he wasn't satisfied until he went to Vrindavan. And there Krishna embraced him. He didn't have to run to Krishna. Krishna himself embraced him. So going beyond this impenetrable, inexplicable nature of Krishna, to be loved by Krishna, to love Krishna beyond all formalities. So this is Vishnu Sahasranama and gives us some idea of Krishna, who is Vishnu, but he behaves differently, especially Krishna in Vrindavan. Now another meaning of Gahana is he who is the witness in everyone. By the different interpretation of the Sanskrit, we can get that understanding. But I won't discuss that now, because that is the same meaning as Sakshi, which is a name which has already come, the witness. So that's already been discussed. Then the name Gupta, that's the last in this series of similar names. It means who is hidden, secret, that which is protected and concealed. Now, he's protected and concealed also by his devotees. Just in Vaikuntha, the gods are there. And similarly, even at the gates of Golok, at the gates of Vaikuntha, there are the seven doorways with the different doorkeepers. Jayan Vijaya at the first door. And similarly, at the entrance to Vrindavan, there are cowherd boys. They won't let you in without permission. So he's concealed. Different ways he's concealed, that already discussed in some detail. Maya javanika channam agyadhokshajam avyayam nalakhirse muhadrisha nato natyadharo yatha. He is concealed by the covering of Maya. Now you may think, well, okay, I'll do some meditation and I'll get beyond Maya. But it's not allowed. Unauthorized process. He can only be approached by his devotees. Devotees, they protect Krishna. They don't allow people in unless they're satisfied that you can do the job properly. We won't be allowed into the spiritual world unless we get clearance from the devotees, because they don't want Krishna's pastimes to be disturbed by some nonsense person. You have to be trained properly. First of all, someone who becomes eligible for joining Krishna's pastimes, they're first of all trained up in the material world where Krishna gets, in a place where Krishna is manifesting. So trained up in that situation, and then they can go to the eternal spiritual world. So also the devotees, they won't speak about Krishna's intimate pastimes. He has his own secret pastimes which are concealed. They're not meant for everyone. Just like Krishna himself, I was just reading now, Prabhupada said that Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't speak anything about Radharani. Even with the six Goswamis, who themselves went on to write so many books about intimate pastimes, only little bit he spoke about that. With Ramananda Rai, he discussed all these topics. So in one sense, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to reveal the glories of Vrindavan, but at the same time, again, he doesn't make it cheap. He doesn't allow anybody and everybody. His room where he lived in Puri for 18 plus 6 years was a little less, because he first went to Puri, then he went on his South India tour, then he came back, and then he took up residence in the Gambhira. When he was first in Puri, he was staying at Sarvabhauma's house. So that room is called Gambhira. There the Lord had his most intimate pastimes, and generally only Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar were present as he discussed these pastimes in the Gambhira at night when no one else was there. So it's, even though he came to reveal that, but his devotees, they put a check on it, not out of harshness or spite, but so that example is given in the Bible of throwing pearls before swine, people who can't appreciate it properly. They're ineligible. It's just don't do that. Don't give the highest things to people who can't appreciate it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses that example also in his series of songs, in which he's gradually building up to it, and then he comes to the point. Now he's a young girl in Vrindavan. He's heard this flute sound. He's running toward Krishna, and then he stops. He said, "Now my pen won't write anymore." Thinking of the benefit of unqualified people. And he used that same example, just like putting pearls before a swine. "I'll stop here. Won't write anymore." So, one reason why Krishna is hidden is because his devotees hide him. On the one hand, he wants to give himself to everyone. On the other hand, his devotees, they protect him, that he won't be disturbed by nonsense people, people who want to use him or exploit him. So he's very liberal, but his devotees, they're also, in one sense, they're more liberal, because they'll go everywhere and try and bring people to Krishna. But at the same time, they want to see that Krishna is properly served. So there's liberality in distributing Krishna consciousness. Yes, everyone come, everyone's welcome. But there's also some caution. Don't try to discuss Krishna's intimate pastimes with everyone. There has to be some qualification. Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritaya nalabhyate. The price for eligibility to enter those secret pastimes is that one should have a very strong desire for doing so. If one has a very strong greed for that, then one won't have any desire for anything else. So in this, another way Krishna remains hidden, just like he says in Bhagavad Gita, mataparataram nanyat kinjit asti dhananjaya. Mai sarvamidam, what is that? Mai idang protam sutre marnagana eva. The beads, we're all here wearing neck beads. We can see the beads, we don't see the string that holds them together. Although we can understand there must be some string, otherwise how can they stay together? So Krishna is the hidden factor which holds everything together. So in that way he's hidden also. Like salt in water, you can't see it. If you put a teaspoon of salt in a cup of water and stir it, the volume should increase, shouldn't it, by one teaspoonful? Isn't it?
You would think.
Huh?
You would think, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. It remains the same volume. The salt becomes hidden. Something to do with the ions and all this, how they interact, the sodium, chlorine, hydrogen and oxygen, and there's enough space to squeeze them in. Just like something like there may be three people in a lift and another five people get in a lift. There's enough space for another five people. Something like that. Hare Krishna. So the next name is a different different kind of meditation on the Supreme Lord. So that will be, I'm not sure exactly when. Maybe next week? Oh, next week I'll be in Bangalore. So, Hare Krishna. Oh, did I go through all the points? Let's have a look. I didn't go through this. The famous statement, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha, cannot be approached by the words or the mind. There are several statements like that, especially in the Upanishads. This is from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Nayam atma. What is that? Nayamatma Balena Prabhu. There are so many verses like that. Oh, Baladev Vidyabhushan gives another meaning of the word Gupta, that he protects the devotees with his transcendental potencies. But again, that's covered in other names, so I won't go into that. So, Hare Krishna. Yeah, okay, finished. Question, okay. What's that? Parama Prakrishtai. Naivasura. What is that? Naivasura Prakataya Prabhavanti Bodham. Yeah. Yeah, piety. Yeah, Jamma Koti Sukritarana Labhyate. So mundane piety won't bring us to Krishna, but when it's said that piety will bring us to Krishna, that means that that refers to the tendency to be devotional. Krishna reciprocates with that. It's a different kind of sukriti altogether. Ultimately, it all depends on Krishna's mercy. Krishna can give his full mercy to someone who is very sinful. Or he may, if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to give his mercy to someone who's very pious. But generally, if someone's devotionally inclined, Krishna will reciprocate. And if someone's very envious, he'll also reciprocate. See that Jagai and Madhai, they were delivered, they were sinful, but they weren't grossly envious of Krishna or his devotees per se. Persons who are envious, it's very difficult for them to get the Lord's mercy because they reject it. That's stated about the Mayavadis of Varanasi. There was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he delivered all kinds of sinful people. Shabir Ailo Matra, Kashir Mayavadi. Everyone got caught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's net of mercy, but the Mayavadis of Varanasi, they avoided that. So They're very tough ones. But it's also stated because they had some piety which was covered by their offenses, but when their offenses were removed, that piety became an asset for them. So because they had faith in Shastra, they were austere, they were living in a holy place, so that became an asset for them. As long as they were envious by this Mayavad philosophy, that was not an asset for them. Couldn't help them. So that example, so many zeros. Or if one is pious, austere, learned in Shastra, but is not a devotee of Krishna, it's like a collection of zeros. But if you put the one of devotion to Krishna before, it becomes very great. Someone can be sinful and non-envious, yeah, like Jaga and Matai. Or someone can be envious and pious. Yeah, and actually that in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur makes that comment, that Jaga and Madhai, they were able to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very easily, but the Mayavadis of Varanasi, they're not... Or was it... No, it wasn't Jaga and Madhai, it was the drunkard, so-called sannyasi. He was more favored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda than the Mayavadis of Varanasi. Hare Krishna. Yeah, knowledge brings us to the platform of love, but in love, knowledge is not only not required, but it becomes an obstruction. Well, there are different levels of love. Devotees, the Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, those who know his greatness and that even though he's so great, still he loves me, and then naturally you'll love him. You'll be attracted by his qualities. And then in Vaikuntha, they love him. They love him for his greatness, but still they know him as very great. That is reflected in how people look up to a king. There's not many kings in the world today. This king of Thailand recently died. He was loved by the citizens, even though he was so great in comparison to them. But I lived in Thailand for some time, and everyone loved him. This queen of England, many people in England, they say, oh, you have a feeling of... It's awe and love at the same time. You can understand that, how the people of England feel like that, even though you don't...
It becomes a big news or something like that.
Yeah, in the royal family, but the queen more than her children and grandchildren. I mean, from a material point of view, she's done her job well in being the queen. She's a dignified figure. So that feeling is there. Knowledge of his opulence and love, but it's a distant kind of love also. It's But then in Vrindavan, the love, the knowledge of his opulence would completely spoil that, so they don't have it. It's very intimate. You want to say something? All right then. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.